Chapter 9. Love and War. But I have a secret that will interest you. Tell the world about it. I don't care.
Later that morning, in the counting house, Nicholas found it difficult to work. He was thinking about how to punish Wackford Squeers for kidnapping Smike. He was sure that his uncle had planned it. He was still thinking about this when he opened the door into Charles Cheeryble's office. There, he saw a young lady on her knees at Mr. Cheeryble's feet. It was the same girl that he had seen on his first visit to the job agency. Nicholas was so filled with surprise and affected by the girl's beauty that he could not move or speak. All thoughts of revenge against his uncle and Squeers disappeared from his mind. There were tears in the girl's eyes as she repeatedly thanked Mr. Cheeryble for his kindness. Mr. Cheeryble looked embarrassed and was asking her to rise. Nicholas quietly left the room before the girl could see him. Later that morning, he asked Tim Linkinwater about the young lady in Mr. Cheeryble's office. But the old clerk pretended not to hear. Nicholas waited for the mysterious young lady's next visit, but days passed and there was no sign of her. Then, one day, he was sent out on some unusual business. He was sure that the young lady was visiting the office while he was away. This happened several times. Why, Nicholas thought, was everybody so unwilling to talk about her? As the days passed, Nicholas could think of nothing except the beautiful young lady. Soon he realized that he had fallen in love. He had to find out more information about her. Eventually, he could not keep the secret to himself. He told Newman Noggs about her, and Newman promised to help.
"The next time you're sent away on business," he said, "I'll wait outside the building. When she leaves, I'll follow her home. Then I can tell you where she lives."
2 days later, Nicholas was sent out on another piece of strange business. That evening, he returned excitedly and asked Newman for news. Unfortunately, Newman could not help him. He had followed the wrong girl. One evening, Ralph Nickleby was walking near St. James's Park on his way home. Although he had collected a lot of money for his business that day, he was in a bad mood. His heart was still poisoned with anger for his nephew, and he was still thinking of revenge. Sir Mulberry Hawk could not help him. He had been so badly hurt and publicly embarrassed after his fight with Nicholas that he had left London as soon as possible. Squeers had returned to Yorkshire, but that was no problem. He was thinking of a plan, and Squeers was going to help him succeed. While he was walking, it began to rain, so Ralph stood under a tree, still lost in thought. Suddenly, he noticed a man standing next to him. He was the same age as he was, but wore dirty old clothes, and had a thin, hungry face. His skin was sunburnt, and his hair was pure white.
"You don't remember me, do you?" the man said.
Ralph stared at him. Then he stepped back in shock. Yes, he remembered the man. His name was Brooker. He had known him for a long time, but he had not seen him for 8 years.
"I used to be your friend," Brooker reminded him. "I'm hungry. I only need a little bread." "Is this the way that you usually beg for money?" Ralph coldly replied. "Yesterday was my first day back in London," the old man continued. "I've been looking for you. I'm nearly 60 years old, and I have nothing in the world." "I'm 60 years old too," Ralph said, "but I don't beg people for bread. I work and earn money for it."
"I used to bring you good business, but you never thanked me. When I asked you for more money, you refused. Instead, you told the police about my debts, and I was sent away on a prison ship for 8 years. What help will you give me now?"
"None. But I have a secret that will interest you. Tell the world about it, I don't care. I'm not giving you any help. Now go away, or I shall make sure you go to prison again, and this time you'll never get out."
With those words, Ralph walked off into the rain. Brooker stared at his back, his eyes filled with hate. At the end of their holiday in London, John Browdie and Tilda were having tea at the Nicklebys' cottage. While everybody was laughing and joking, there was a loud knock on the door, and Ralph Nickleby walked in, followed by Wackford Squeers and Mr. Snawley.
"Listen to what I have to say," he told them.
John Browdie and Nicholas stood up angrily, but Ralph looked straight past them at Mrs. Nickleby.
"I shall talk to you, ma'am," he said. "I know that your mad son will refuse to listen to me. I am here to return a child to his parent."
He pointed at Smike, who was shaking with fear behind Nicholas's back.
"I have brought that boy's father here with me tonight."
"My son!"
cried Mr. Snawley, hurrying past Nicholas and taking Smike in his arms.
"I found you at last!" "This is the boy's father," Ralph said, pointing at Snawley, "and here are the documents that prove it."
He left the documents on the table for Nicholas and John Browdie to study.
"Dear Nicholas," Kate said at last, looking over her brother's shoulder, "is it true?"
"I'm afraid it is," Nicholas replied quietly.
"Good," said Squeers. "So he's coming with us. There's a coach waiting outside, and the horses are getting cold."
"No,"
cried Smike, pulling away from Snawley.
"I'm not leaving."
Squeers moved forwards, but John Browdie pushed him away and he fell to the floor. After a lot of loud argument and angry shouting, Nicholas picked Squeers up by the collar and threw him out of the door.
"I want my son," Snawley demanded.
"Your son wants to stay here," Nicholas replied, "and I will not let him go back to that school."
Snawley left the room, but Ralph stayed behind. He stared at Nicholas angrily.
"Mr. Snawley is the boy's father," he said, "and he will have him."